I often see on the television, after some sort of horrific event, a person confessing the fact that they would never be able to forgive the person that caused that particular distress. I have an aunt whose husband left her with nothing. And for many years, she was so bitter and so terrible about it that even just recently, as I spoke to her, she could detail all of the events that occurred at that particular time. One stage or other, I lived in Riverwood. My children went to Riverwood Primary School, and I remember an incident that occurred when children coming out of school, a number of them were hit by a car. And I remember the father of the child, or two children that were killed, was willing to forgive the young woman who was drunk, incidentally, that had killed his children. I guess you're aware of the story of Daniel and Leah Abdullah, who was willing to forgive a young drunk driver who killed three of her children and a niece while they're walking along a road to buy an ice cream in Western Sydney. The theme of the Bible talks about forgiveness. My title this morning is Why Should We Forgive? And the text that we've looked at this morning is put in context of the fact that Jesus was speaking to the disciples about discipline within the church, and then Peter asked him about how many times should he be willing to forgive. He thought he was rather generous by saying seven times, but then Jesus said seven times 70. I guess it's talking about the fact that we should be not willing to stop forgiving. It wasn't just 490 times. The parable talks about a king wanting to settle an account with his servant. It was an unpayable debt. The servant owed his master 10,000 talents, which apparently is worth about 160 years worth of wages. It was an impossible debt. And since he was unable to do so, the king ordered that he and his family were to be sold as slaves. However, the servant pleaded for mercy, and the king cancelled his debt and let him go free. His co-worker owed him 100 denier, roughly 100 days' wages. And on his way out from the king, he saw his fellow servant who owed him that and asked and demanded that it be repaid. He refused to accept the servant's mercy and plea to pay it back when he could, and he sent the servant into jail, and here he is. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged, and I guess so would we be. And they went and told the king. And the king summoned the servant, and he was angry that he wasn't willing to forgive a fellow servant. And so he was sent to jail so that he pays debt. And there he is being sent to jail. Final comments of that particular parable was this: that now how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Verse 32. Well, the parable, I believe, helps us to look at several lessons that are helpful for us. And here we are, someone that's going to teach us a lesson. Firstly, we cannot repay our own debt. It was impossible for the servant to pay back the debt that he had with the king. And so we are unable to pay the debt of sin. The Bible says we've all fallen short of God's standard. We have all sinned and fallen short of God's standard of being perfect. The Bible goes on to say, for the penalty of sin is death. Goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life. We are unable to pay the penalty of sin. We seem to be always in conflict, don't we? We cannot save ourselves from the penalty of sin. I spoke previously when I spoke about the fact that sin spoils our life, spreads in our life, and separates us from a God who loves us forever and ever and ever. I mean, also mentioned the fact that sin not only spoils our life, but also affects other people. And that's really sad. Bible says, for grace are we saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, so that no one could boast. It is impossible for us to pay the penalty of sin. Not of ourselves, not of works. It's by grace are we saved through faith. So the first lesson we can learn is that we cannot repay our own debt of sin. Our second lesson speaks about the fact that God offers us undeserved forgiveness. It was the king that offered and cancelled the debt of the servant and set him free. And so we too realise that it's by grace that we are saved through faith. Not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's through Jesus' death upon the cross that we have forgiveness of our sins. We can't earn it. We can't do things that will help us. Jesus came and died. And again in Ephesians, I'll go back. In Ephesians we read this. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. And so it was by death, Jesus' death on the cross, that our debt could be paid in full. I often wonder what it must have been like for Jesus on hanging on the cross. A crown of thorns on his head. Prior to that, he was whipped with a whip 39 times. Gosh, he must have loved us. Unconditional love. The Bible goes on to say, if we claim that we have without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all uncleanliness. Jesus came and died on a cross, young people. And there we can have forgiveness of sins, but we must ask. We must repent. We must believe what Jesus has done. And the Bible says in Romans, we must confess with our lips Jesus is our Lord and confess with our mouth. Jesus then brings forgiveness of sins, the right to become a child of God, and the gift of eternal life. We can't pay our debt, but Jesus came and paid it for in full upon the cross of Calvary. And the third lesson we can learn is that forgiveness, we need to forgive others, because Christ has forgiven us. It's interesting with the parable, isn't it? servant that was forgiven refused to forgive his fellow servants, even though he had promised that he would pay his debt, but he was put into jail. Bible says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamour and evil speaking be put away from us. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Why should we forgive people's sins? Well, the Bible says we should forgive them because we are forgiven. We should forgive people's sins out of obedience to the Lord. We should forgive so that God will forgive our sins. We should forgive so that our prayers will not be hindered. Barclay talks about the fact, and he says it in this way, the lack of forgiveness blocks access to the kingdom of God and to the marvellous power available through the Holy Spirit. Barclay talks about the fact that in terms of forgiveness, we need to forgive ourselves. Many of us carry guilt and shame because of our past lives. Barclay goes and talks about the fact that we need to forgive God because we seem to have an attitude that all the problems that we may have are attributed to Him. Maybe our sickness, we say it's God's fault. I had a pastor that I shared in ministry with, and his child died, and it took him a long time to realise that it wasn't God's fault. Also talks about the fact, Barclay does, that we need to forgive those members of our families. We seem to be hurting and be hurt by those within our own family. And the Bible says we should give all those that trespass or hurt us. Picture here talks about the fact I am forgiven and I forgive others even as Christ forgave me. Bible tells us that we should forgive others. My fourth thought is this: our love for God should be shown in the way we treat others. You know, it's interesting in our relationships with others that we get hurt and we often hurt others. It may be just a word spoken or an action that's made. I have a friend that I love and I spend a lot of time with, but he has the habit of seeming to belittle me with others around me, and it hurts. The one spoke in her childhood when she was at school of the fact that she was, I guess there were rumours around the school of various things, and that hurt her a lot. Angelique, our granddaughter who lives with us, when she came out of hospital, refused to come home and to live with us. And that hurt a lot. It's really difficult. She won't respond to any of our love at all. She won't get out of bed. She refuses to do lots of things. And I know that she has OCD and she's autistic, but it hurts all the time. Actions and words can hurt us. I guess we all go through those issues a lot of the time. I've been sharing with children at school how to deal with conflict. And in our lessons, we've talked about the fact that in conflict, we need to admit our part involved in the conflict. We need to apologise. Be straight out and truth about it. We need to accept the cost that's involved in the conflict. We need to ask for forgiveness. We need to ask God to alter our behaviour so that we can demonstrate God's love to others. Just that nasty word. All those fists that have come up and striking out. You know, forgiveness and forgiving others who have hurt us is neither natural or just. Our human nature wants to get even and to exact revenge. Often to forgive without repayment offends our sense of judgment. We want to be vindicated. Forgiveness should be a conscious choice and a physical act on our part and should not be an emotional response. Very difficult to separate them. Someone said forgiveness is not something you feel, it's something that you do. Someone else said forgiveness is a conscious choice that we make through a decision of the will, regardless of how we feel. They're lovely comments and lovely words, but I must confess that separating our will and our feeling is not a very easy thing. Forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation. Forgiveness does not mean that we forget the offence that has hurt us, but it does mean releasing the offender from blame and leaving the event in God's hands and moving on. You know, forgiveness also demonstrates to the world and those around us God's teaching on kindness, God's mercy, God's love, and humility. Forgiving others demonstrates to others the fact that we believe in God. And you know, we may be the only Bible some people in the world around us may kneel. I love to comment, I love mankind. It's people I can't stand. Interesting, isn't it? Forgiveness brings reconciliation. It brings people together. In confronting someone that's hurt us, or when we confront someone that we've hurt, forgiveness needs people will not acknowledge or accept our apology or our forgiveness. We simply need to leave them in God's hands, knowing that God will bring us healing and comfort in his time. When I look at the cross, Jesus prayed for his murderers, "Father, forgive them." When we forgive others, we reflect Jesus when he forgave people who have hurt us. And for us, being like Jesus, isn't that our ultimate goal and aim? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that Jesus came and died on a cross for us. And in doing that, he paid the penalty of our sin. And we received his forgiveness, past, present, and future. Father, help us to acknowledge that we are forgiven. Help us to acknowledge the fact that we can forgive others. And Father, we know that in our world there is lots of conflict, and we find that people seem to unconsciously maybe hurt us. We unconsciously may hurt others. Help us to be your children, willing to forgive others and be forgiven. Help us to be the sort of people that can demonstrate your love to others so that people might be brought into the kingdom of God through our witness in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Neil, for the sermon. The next song is Oh the Mercy of God, and it's about how forgiveness comes from God, and he's the source of all our mercy and grace. So please stand and let's reflect on what we've heard.